Good morning and happy Cinco de Mayo on this chilly Friday in Dayton, Ohio. Yesterday was a bit warmer. My son and I enjoyed a lunch out on the patio. We were a little chilly, but it felt great at Franco's downtown. It's an Italian restaurant that we love. So that was enjoyable. And the World Affair is this weekend. I mentioned it in my last podcast. It's my World Affairs story of the conversation I had with my mom about my wanting to search for my birth mom. So check out that podcast if you want to hear that story. It was last week. So the World Affair starts this evening at 5 o'clock and goes through Sunday at 6 p.m. It's at the Greene County Expo, if you're local to me. I plan to be there. It's the first year it's been in Greene County. Let's see, it's at 120 Fairgrounds Road in Xenia. And for those not familiar, Xenia may sound familiar to you because it had one of the worst tornadoes in the history of the United States. Check it out. Happened in the 1970s, and my husband was actually living in Xenia at the time of this tornado. He actually missed it. It did not hit where he lived, but he survived a different tornado in a different area, not too far from Xenia. And he's always told me it sounds like a train coming. So if you ever hear what sounds like a train coming, it's time to get down to your basement if you have one, or get into a location where you can't get hit by flying debris. So today, in a couple hours, I'm going to the high school to see our daughter graduate from her career tech program. There's a whole slew of graduation activities this month, and today's kicks it off. She is in digital design, and that is what she's going to be doing in college. So we're, of course, very proud. And I didn't think I was going to be able to see her today because I had already committed to testifying in a court hearing out of town. And I was so fortunate that the attorney's office called me yesterday and the hearing was canceled. So I do not have to testify. For some of you out there who know me, I do legal process serving, and this case was related to a divorce, and I guess there was some dispute as to whether this person was served their divorce papers. But it all resolved, and now I can go see our kiddo. She's our adult. She's 18 now. But really proud of her. Excited to see her at the school later today. Speaking of the school, there was a gender fluid king and queen nominated at the prom this year. This is something I was not aware of. I happened to be out of town when my daughter went to prom, and she never mentioned it. And she's part of the LGBTQ community, so I was totally not in the know of the big controversy that was happening. I guess it was discussed at the board meeting. Some people complained. It appears that the prom and king and queen are not really in the oversight of the board. But there was some backlash, and apparently a threat was made by somebody from another district threatening LGBTQ kids at the school. No one in particular, just a general threat. So I started researching because we got a letter from the superintendent explaining how our community handled everything, and they did everything they do whenever they get a threat. And so I looked up what the penalty is, because my husband was like, this should be a felony. When people make threats to the school, it should be a felony. So I looked it up, and it turns out just a month or two ago, Mike DeWine signed a bill into law against swatting. And this is what they've termed it, which I was not aware. Swatting in Ohio is now a third degree felony. It could even be a first degree if somebody's harmed. So this person who called in the threats, they found him immediately because, you know, they can track everything electronically these days. And he was arrested. So that was a little scary. But the kids were prepared for what they had to do during the lockdown, and let's hope that this doesn't happen in the future, although I don't have any faith that it won't happen in the future because of the way this current state of our society and the backlash that seems to continue to occur or be directed toward LGBTQ+ community. So last night, I streamed The Lost Sons on the Discovery Channel. Are y'all familiar with that? It's a documentary about the Paul Fronczak kidnapping case. And my best friend, Marla, lives in Western Australia. And she wasn't able to get it. So I told her I would stream it for her. So I had my daughter helped me with this because I was having electronic issues. But I set up my laptop to be faced toward the TV. And once we got it all set up, I called her through Messenger and we watched the documentary together. Now, of course, I've seen this 3 or 4 times already, but I had the good fortune to meet Paul, who now goes by Jack, at Untangling Our Roots. And so it was, even though I don't know him, we had a couple conversations, you know, by Messenger and face-to-face. And when I saw it, this is the first time I've watched it since the conference, it really hit me emotionally even more. I don't know why, but I found myself crying so many times, and it was just heartbreaking. I don't want to give too much away because please go watch it. It's so good. And read his books. I enjoyed his books. He has 2. The first one was published years ago called The Foundling. And I read it when it first came out and really enjoyed it. We were both kind of in the same boat, waiting around for DNA to solve our parent mystery. And then his most recent book, True Identity, is just wonderful. If you read just one of the books, I would choose the second one and get it on Audible because he reads it himself in his own voice. And to me, that just had so much more meaning because, I don't know, I just love hearing people's voices where you feel like you kind of know them. And very, very great, excellent book. Highly recommend. So we spent, you know, a couple hours streaming this documentary, and we'd pause it every now and then and discuss it, what we liked about it, what was shocking, because there's so many shocking twists in Jack's story. Anyhow, after we completed it, we discussed it and had to decompress because it is an emotional watch. And we talked about all the, quote, adopted type situations. I said somewhere in the middle of it, Paul is just so adopted. But only probably adoptees will get this humor because we have certain things about us that they're common. And in the documentary, he mentions different things about himself. And Jack is adopted. Anyway, so that's good. Go check it out. And if you don't get Discovery Plus, he told us at the conference it should be coming to HBO. And if you don't have HBO, well, you know, call a friend to stream it for you. I was looking at adoption in the news. I just kind of did a Google search, and I learned that the Netherlands has continued doing adoption business with the U.S. It appears that the Netherlands had suspended their intercountry adoption in February 2021, but there is this really recent announcement at the travelstate.gov that says the Netherlands closed intercountry adoption. And I guess they learned that the Dutch Ministry of Justice and Security reported in November 2022 that the Netherlands decided to phase out their adoption relationship with 8 countries, including the U.S. This means no new intercountry adoptions will be allowed between the U.S. and the Netherlands. Although any cases that are in process will continue. But there is something that I wanted to read to you all that I thought was pretty powerful. So in the New York Times, there's an article called Netherlands Halts Adoptions from Abroad After Exposing Past Abuses. They created an independent commission in 2018 to look into the international abuses after a lawsuit showed that the Dutch government had been involved in illegal adoption from Brazil in 1980 and pointed to the possibility of more cases. The experts said they knew of no other Western country that had stopped international adoptions. In its report, the commission said it had found systematic wrongdoing, including pressuring poor women to give up their babies, falsifying documents, engaging in fraud and corruption, and in effect, buying and selling children. In some cases, the Dutch government was aware of misdeeds and adoptions from Bangladesh, Brazil, Colombia, Indonesia, and Sri Lanka, but did nothing about them and allowed them to continue, the report said. The inter-country adoption system itself served as a kind of child laundering mechanism, as children who were put up for adoption under suspect circumstances could be transformed into legitimately adopted children, the commission reported. It described the creation of an adoption market and the conversion of children into tradable goods, a system that could be categorized as an abuse. Well, that sounds a lot like what we have been saying, a lot of us advocates here in the U.S., and what goes on here. Now, granted, I'm talking about domestic, private, and infant adoption. But there are abuses that go on here. Our government just chooses to, you know, look away. We love adoption in this country, and we continue to see it as an unquestioned good. Andy Stanley and I are addressing that unquestioned good over at the Adoption Files, and we had the pleasure of interviewing Lorraine Dusky this week. It was a 2-hour interview. I was so pleased to be able to talk to Lorraine. Now, we met probably about 5 years ago at Indiana Adoptee Network at a conference, and I picked up her book at that point, Hole in My Heart. And she has since revised it and created a second edition with a lot of additional writing, where she goes more into her career as a journalist, who she was before, who her family was, and more specifics about her adoptee rights activism. And I didn't realize that she was one of several of, you know, the initial people. Now, I did know this from her keynote at Indiana Adoptee Network, that she was the first birth mom to out herself publicly. And I knew she was a journalist, but I didn't know that she worked with Florence Fisher, who's the founder of ALMA, and like the first adoptee who started support groups and came out and testified. And then also Betty Jean Lifton, another famous adoptee in our community. So she worked with these rock star ladies, and the three of them were trying to end sealed records back in the 70s and 80s. And it's mind-blowing to think that we're still doing this in 2023, that we're still trying to justify to legislators that it's not okay to hide someone's identity. It just blows my mind. And it was really great to meet Lorraine. I'm excited for the interview to come out. It's supposed to come out next week at the Adoption Files. So stay tuned for that. I will put a link in the show notes to the Adoption Files in case you want to hear any of our other interviews that we've done as of late. Mostly, we have, Andy and I have been interviewing people about their perspectives on adoption being cult-like. There's this thing called the BITE model, which I've talked about in a couple podcasts, that describe different categories of cult-like behavior. And Andy and I came across this model and started thinking, sounds very familiar. So head over there if you like to listen to any of those interviews. They definitely will expand your mind, if nothing else. Andy and I have said, you know, it's okay if people don't agree with us. This is just our opinion. and this is not scientific. We haven't done any surveys. There's no court cases or research on this topic yet. It's a brand new topic, but literally it's very close to the coercive control and the undue influence that Dr. Stephen Hawson has done research on in actual cults. So check those out, and feedback is more than welcome. So I just learned about a new adoption grant program that Governor DeWine signed into law very recently. And it provides up to $20,000 to parents adopting a child. Now, you have to have finalized the adoption since January 1st, 2023. And you can apply at for the grant at adoptiongrantohio.gov. I'll put it in the show notes. He says, here's who's eligible. This grant program replaces the existing state adoption tax credit and offers three levels of one-time payments. $10,000 to anyone except a step-parent adopting a youth, $15,000 if the parent was foster caregivers, including kinship caregivers, who cared for the child prior to adoption, and a $20,000 grant to families that adopt a child with special needs as determined by a qualified professional. So as many of you may know, my husband and I are kinship adoptive parents, and we did receive the tax credit at the time we adopted, but this, so I have mixed feelings about this. I am glad that the state is helping foster parents and kinship caregivers adopt a child, because that gives that child permanence. And they need all the help they can get to financially be able to support the child. But, I'm not okay with the whole private adoption thing. You've probably figured that out if you listen to this podcast. So it's a mixed bag. And the $20,000 grant to the special needs children, I think that's a positive. But I will quote what Mike DeWine said that is a little suspect to me, considering he's the one who is not for any kind of abortion after 6 weeks. This grant will provide needed resources for families looking to grow their family through adoption. Our goal is to make Ohio the best state to start and raise a family. So there lies the issue right there. Governor DeWine is looking to help people grow their family. And just his choice of words is bothersome, I think, because honestly, adoption is for children to find homes, not for adults to find children. So I'll wrap up at that point, and thanks for listening. I'll see you all next week. Have a great weekend.